Hi, people. Welcome to the very first ever TJ Live podcast, baby. I'm sitting here in the middle of the afternoon, late on February, the last day of February, actually. February 28th, 2018. Almost said 17 for a moment there. Caught me. My name is Trey Johnson Jr. I'm just a lucky son of a bitch today to be doing a podcast with all you fine folk here on Anchor. Join me on this ride, will you? Join me. This is volume one of TJ Live, okay? I'm sorry if I'm literally boring you to death here. So, if you just hear my voice for the very first time, thank you for being a part of this fun journey we have. You know, when you start fun journeys, you hope you can do it with a couple of your good friends. You hope at least you can, but I want y'all to comment and distribute your thoughts on everything I'm going to talk about today. Here's three topics I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to give you 50 facts you should know about me over the next 5 months. This is going to be a monthly podcast, by the way, too, folks, so sorry, I can't do it weekly because I'm kind of busy with college stuff, so I'm sorry. All right, I wish I could do it monthly, but I'm going to do 50 facts about me for the next 5 months, so 10 facts per episode and every month, so I'm going to roll out 10 today. Also, we got to talk about the NCAA men's tournament, so the next time I come on podcast for you will be March 28th. It will be after the tournament starts, so I'm going to give you some bracket tips so you win your fucking pools. Three of them. And also, I will give you baseball award predictions for 2018. The baseball season, it's almost here. Hallelujah, Jesus. It is almost here. So I give you my MVPs, Cy Youngs, Rookie of the Years, and the most important award in all baseball, the MVP award. Again, thank you for tuning in with me. If you just listen, thank you for giving me a shot. Thank you for giving me a platform to speak to you guys. And I'd like to also thank the great, kind, gentle souls of Anchor for creating this such app that I can create my verbal podcast of awesomeness. Thank you, Anchor.com, whoever you are. Thank you. Now, enjoy the damn show if you want to. Okay? We'll start with my 50 facts. Part one. This is going to be a 5 month event. So stay with me. Fact number one. I'm 21 years old. Okay? I'm 21. I'm young. End of story on that one. Fact number two. I reside from Baltimore, Maryland. So yes, I live in the most crime-filled city in America. Yes, you've heard the stories and research that this is the most crime-filled city in America. Well, actually, if you come visit this city for once, you'll understand why this city is somewhat may be cautious for you to walk around in a bit. But I love this city way too much. I love Baltimore. I don't know about anybody else that lives in this city, but I love Baltimore. I love this city. Facts number three. I'm going to give you my teams I root for. My Terps, my Maryland Terps, men's basketball team, football team. They both are crap this year, all right? Crap. I know that. Crap. They're crap. We beat Texas early this year, and then we crapped in the football, and crapped in basketball. We don't know how to win in the Big Ten, period. Wizards. We're doing well without John Wall. I guess we can say that for now. Ravens, y'all saw what happened in January. Y'all saw what happened in December. Oh, wait. We didn't make the playoffs. I'm sorry. Orioles, just sorry, spring training. I can't wait. Optimism's in the air. Please don't fucking get rid of Manny Machado. Number four, I prefer Twitter over any social media outlet. There's something about Twitter and the social media, and It's something, man, with Twitter, man. You got to understand me. When you get on Twitter every day, if you have an account like I do, I have actually two accounts, but the one, I can't find my password for my original account I have, so I have a new one. By the way, my new account is at Troy Johnson Jr. 3, all one word. Go follow me there if you want. But I just feel like Twitter is the best place for memes, funny crap, great people you get to socialize yourself with on Twitter. It is so much fun to be on Twitter every day. Then being on Instagram and you have to take a picture to be perfect every day on that dry ass social media. I know some of you got Instagram accounts. I'm sorry, but please forgive me. Forgive me. Please. And the Facebook, don't get me started on Facebook. Fake News City USA. All those, all your friends and family on there is Fake News USA. Come on now. I think Donald Trump owns Facebook. Not even Mark Zuckerberg no more. Number five. I am single. I am 21 and single. Ladies, call me. One simple phone call. Ring, ring. But the type of girls I prefer myself with are big, beautiful women who are smart in the head. They're actually smart human beings. They're not fucking around in the streets doing dumb shit. They're not doing anything stupid. I hope they don't. So I want a smart girl with a capable brain, with a great personality, and who happens to love sports just as much as I do. You can't ask for nothing else, can you? I love big chunky arms. And when I hug you big women, it just feels so special. You know what I mean? No disrespect to my skinny girls. Okay, skinny girls are beautiful too. I just have a preference with bigger women. Is that wrong for me to say? I don't know. Cool. Fact number six about me. I'm a huge WWE fan. I've been one since middle school. So I'm 21 now. So I had to been somewhere little boy size. I'm not going to tell you what age. I'll tell you what year though. Around 2006, 2007. When John Cena was starting to break out. Really break in as a main eventer. This is when I started watching WWE. My friends kept telling me about this thing. I'm like, what's WWE, man? I'm like, WWE, it's wrestling, man. They fighting, you know, they're getting it on. And I found out this shit was fake. I mean, I wasn't disappointed. I didn't want my friends telling me this shit was fake. I knew they were putting punches to faces, man. But I don't fake the script in there. No. When they're in the ring, they're punching the shit out of one another. It may not hurt, but it's athletic ability, right? They putting their asses on the line, man. So, I can appreciate that. Every single week I watch WWE. And by the way, you're hearing my WWE thoughts over the time of this podcast here, too. Number seven, my TV guilty pleasures. Some of my favorite shows. It's actually two. There's really two. My summer TV show is Big Brother. My fall TV show is Star. Let me explain why. Big Brother, I've been addicted to the show for the longest time. You always have that one reality TV show you keep coming back to. And Big Brother is that one reality TV show I keep coming back to in the summer. When it's on, I'm watching it. I didn't get the chance to watch Celebrity Big Brother. They're just in it. But I wasn't interested. You know what I mean? I'm normally interested with normal people doing Big Brother. And I wasn't feeling the celebrity one. Don't get me wrong. The big names were on there, but I wasn't feeling it. And, you know, normal people tend to fuck up in the Big Brother house. They tend to act more stupider in the Big Brother house than they do in real life. I know I like the real human element with the Big Brother house, man. Like, it makes people cry, fight, all that stuff. It's guilty pleasure TV in the summer for me when I watch Big Brother. With regular people, of course. Don't get me wrong. Celebrity Big Brother must have been a success. I didn't watch it, but you know, it's a good template for Big Brother to keep going next fall with the Celebrity Big Brother. You know, probably get some more bigger names down the road. So keep going with that. Let me explain to you why I love Star so much. This cast with Star, man, it is so phenomenal. I cannot tell you how much I love every single member of this cast. The notable names in this cast. You know, you got Jahil, played by Benjamin Bratt, Queen Latifah, Carletta, Ryan, Jude, and Brittany. The young girls you see play on Star. Star, Alex, Simone. These young girls are in their mid-20s, man. I actually looked up their ages. They're in mid-20s. They're in their prime years of their acting careers. And they're acting on Lee Daniels' Star. They are phenomenal actors and singers. And the way the show is written by Lee Daniels, it hooked me from season one. It hooked me. Last year, it hooked. Because I was like, I'm looking for that one TV show I could watch with ease. And I don't care. And Star is that show. It's that show. Like, the characters in the show relate to me, someone in real life. Especially Star's attitude. I kind of act like Star sometimes. Like, I want to be the head of, I want to live my own life. I'm going to talk. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to be bright, you know. Brag. You get what Star's attitude is. Time. Like, I don't want to be that bitchy like Star, but I want to be like a leader, like a dominant leader like Star. But sometimes I'm quiet like Simone, and sometimes I'm, you know, I'm shy. I stay away from stuff. But sometimes I act like Alex too. Like, I'm a brainiac of the group. I'm a more reasonable one of the people around me sometimes. So, mixed all them personalities together, and then Carletta. She represents what a mother should be like. Stand by her kids and stand by her little protégés. And it's just a great show. Like, I wish they had this show like 5 years ago. Not in today's current television climate, but it's a great show for now. For right here in today's generation. It's a wonderful music show. It's a great drama altogether. If you scrap the music, it's a great drama. The music and the drama just put together with this show. Lee Daniels don't have to make good shows. He got Empire on the same damn network and same damn night as Star. But let me tell you, I got rid of Empire obsession like season two. Like, I wasn't feeling Empire after season two. I just felt like it ran the same story, same course. Like, Star, like, at least updates its stuff every week. It follows the same storyline of these three girls in the group, you know, trying to make Stardom. But they update the story, it seems like, every fucking episode. Like, Simone, you think she's okay, but she's doing one thing and then the other. And Star is doing this, and then she's doing this. And it's like, it's crazy. And, you know, whoever playing Ayanna Brown, whoever Ayanna this year on Star Season 2, you deserve a fucking Emmy. Because that's how I fucking perceive music producers to be. And business owners to be. Bitchy, moany, complain about the next generation. That's how I condemn music producers. Whoever playing Ayanna, she is a bitch. I hate her. Hate her guts. That's a great character, man. I'm sorry I had to ramble about my shows, man. But that's my TV guilty pleasures right there. I love both Big Brother and Star. They're great shows. I know there are other great TV shows out there, but I just love Star so much. Oh my God. Cannot wait for it to come back in the spring debut of season two. Facts number eight. I only play sports video games. Let me explain why. I never was into the Call of Duties and all these shooting games and all that. And you may come after me on Twitter and say, why? Oh my God, Johnson, why? I'm a sports fan, first of all, end of the day. So I'm going to buy mostly sports games anyway. Like, some of my favorite games of all time have all been sports games. Not one game outside that genre has been my favorite. Sorry, I'm just a sports video game fanatic. And most importantly, my favorite game genres are NBA 2K and will be The Show. Like, I can remember playing my first MLB The Show, like, MLB The Show 9, when they had the creative intros for all the position players in baseball. That's when I started playing The Show, like, back 08, 09. Like, ever since then, I feel like I've been an MLB The Show fan since then. And I own MLB The Show 17, a copy of it on the PS4. Great graphics and everything. Bad hitting logic. But just a great game overall. And I saw MLB The Show 18 improvements this year. They look really good. So by the next time I see you, the show will come out for 18. So I pray to God I can get a copy of the game, because I'm kind of broke right now. You know, I'm without a job. Thank you, Sam's Club. Sorry. Thank you. anyway, you know, I'm a big fan of the NBA 2K franchise. I mean, I don't got NBA 2K 18 yet. I got 2K 17. So, and you jokers want to get busted online, hit me up. Just ask my Twitter. Just ask my PSN. Hit me up. I'll bust your ass, I think. If I play with the right team, of course. And here's fact number 10. I'm going to dispute 10 facts for the next 5 months. Hold it with me. Hold on with me. I know y'all are busy. I'm just going to make this podcast short and sweet today and everything like that. So here's fact number 10. Skittles are the best candy ever created. Boy, I'm a fan of Skittles. Just like your boy, Marshawn Lynch. Fan of them. They're candy's best representation of drugs, but you don't get killed for it. So, just like your parents cream you for smoking reefer and all that bull crap. Did y'all know there's like fake cigarette candies out there? Little chalkboard pieces of candy sticks. Oh my God, why am I bringing that back up? Oh my God. I'm too ghetto. But you know what? Skittles are the best representation of candy drugs. But you don't have to get killed for them. Like the little rainbows. See the rainbow, taste the rainbow, right? You remember the line, right? So I'm with Marshawn Lynch. I love Skittles just as much as him. They're great candies. I was so happy when they came out with the Skittles bubblegum. Yes, you know your boy had to buy one. When it came out, it was beautiful. Just like the rainbow. Taste the rainbow, pop the rainbow in the ass. Woo! Yeah, Ric Flair, you think you could do a better woo than me? Woo! Sorry, Charlotte Flair. Sorry. Sorry, I got carried. But anyway, tune in next month in March. March 28th. Tune in next month and you'll find out 10 more interesting facts about Moy. Yours truly, Troy Johnson Jr., with a certified educational and informational and a lot of cursing. Thank you. So tune in next month. You'll find out 10 more facts about me. You'll never know what I'm going to say next, what I like. You never know. So we're going to move on to the next topic here. All right? I'm going to give you these NCAA men's basketball bracket tips here. We are about 1 week and change away, about 11 days and change away from the NCAA tournament. Guys, this NCAA basketball tournament is crazy every year. You jokers do office pools every year just in hopes of a perfect bracket. Chances are you ain't gonna get the perfect bracket, damn it. But let me give you three tips today as a bracket fill out expert over the years. As young as I am, yes, I fill out brackets every year, and I'm gonna give you three tips for the newbies, the old farts, the ones that have been doing it for years. I'm gonna give you tips in order to at least increase your chances of winning. I mean, I ain't gonna say you're winning, but hey, you ain't gonna win the perfect bracket, but you aren't gonna get attempts of maybe winning it if you listen to my ass and not Joe Larinati and Dick Vitale and crew, all that ESPN, CBS, bullcrap. Okay, listen to me. Somebody who's had you fill out the bracket over the years, and it's painful and it's tough to do every year sometimes, but that's because you got so many good teams in the tournament this year. Like, this college basketball season has been interesting. I'll say it enough. From wiretapping, Sean fucking Miller, to Sharif O'Neal going to UCLA next year, to Villanova, to Michigan State, to Kansas, to, again, wiretapping. Sean Miller, you're going to get fired. And I don't blame you if you do. Anyway, let me give you the three bracket tips real quick here. Tip number one. Pick a 12 over a 5. It's always going to happen in the first week of the tournament. Please, believe me, understand me. When you get that bracket Monday morning, when you fill out that bracket, the very first Monday, the Monday after the selection Sunday, you're going to be looking and like, where's my upset is going to be? I'll tell you, your upset's going to be one of those 12s plucking them fives off. If you get lucky, two of those fives getting plucked off from the 12s. Them 12s always have a way of beating fives. It happens every year for some odd reason. There's only been a few short years, that, as long as I've been alive, that fives have survived that whole first weekend alive. Pick the 12 to be a 5. At least one, please. Don't go overboard, pick all 12s. Pick one 12 to be a 5. Because the facts, some 5 seeds in the tournament are very, very fucking weak. And I know there's going to be some weak-ass 5 seeds this year, like Oklahoma, if they get seeded as a 5 seed this year. But then again, their record ain't looking like a 5 seed. But then again, let's just say, for instance, if Oklahoma got seeded as a 5 seed and they got ranked with a 12 seed that's like a really good shooting 3-point team, plays good D, experience, like, oh my God, Oklahoma can be in some fucking trouble. And y'all know Oklahoma's been struggling as of late. Oh my, the Trae Young show can end early. Oh, it can end early. Yes, it can. I'm just using it as an example. If Oklahoma got seed as a 5 seed, you know, they can get plucked by a 12 easily, just like that. So I advise you, pick a 12 over 5. You're going to feel happy at the end of the weekend. Common rules, stay away from 16 over 1. That will never, ever fucking happen. Never, ever, 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 ever happen. Never. Don't pick a 16 over 1. Please save yourself the bracket embarrassment. I know you want to. Save it. Save it. No. Which brings me to the next tip. Use your head, not your heart. I know you want to pick your favorite school to win the national title. And for some of you schools, you can do that. Like Nova this year. Michigan State's a pretty good damn team. Duke is sketchy at times. Just lost a game of Virginia Tech. North Carolina's sketchy. They're national champion team. They're defending national champions. They're sketchy this year too. I know your Oklahoma fans out there. Hi, Trae Young fans. Hi. Oh, if you're a Trae Young fan, you want to pick Oklahoma to win national championship. Hi. Morgan Bagley fan, hi. I know you want to pick your favorite school to win the damn tournament. And it's okay. You can have a separate bracket for that. But your real bracket, you put it into the pool or you go online. Please, use your head over your heart. Please. Please, use your head. If your team does not win your online bracket, the one you're trying to get money from, the one you're trying to win, you're going to feel embarrassed. You might as well say it now. You're going to feel embarrassed. And there's been instances in my past I want to pick the Terps to win the tournament. But I knew in my damn mind that the Terps were not going to win the tournament. Not even capable of winning the tournament. So, yeah, I thought not it would be a good idea to pick the Terps to win the tournament. Even though they were probably in a good team, they ain't going to win. Okay? They ain't going to win the tournament. So, you got way out stuff here. Like, I mean, I always know Duke's going to make it to the Sweet 16 anyway. So, duh. They're going to go to the Final Four this year. So, they got a good team. Martin Bagley, good. Yeah, but, you know, Duke's been sketchy as of late. But, yeah, Duke's good. Yeah, Duke's good. Yeah, Duke's good. Yeah, Duke is good. You're your team. You know that. But please use your head over your heart sometimes. Please, people. Like, if you're going to pick, if you see in your brain that, like, Villanova's going to win the national championship, here's a nice bracket tip. Put your national champion first. Orchestrate their outline to the tournament. And then go fill out the rest of your bracket from there. Start backwards, not frontwards. That's a nice little extra tip. Start backwards, not frontwards. I already know who's going to be my national champion. Okay, here's Villanova. Write down my paper. Okay, orchestrate Villanova's run to the national title in your mind. Okay. Straight through this matchup. Fill out their side of the bracket. And then continue as you go along here. Okay, write your runner-up and so on and so forth. Work backwards instead of frontwards, please, people. I think it's a nice idea to work backwards instead of frontwards. Because you already know who your national champion going to be. So, it's a nice idea there. But anyway, please use your head over your heart. Please. I know you want to pick Duke to win. I know you want to pick Villanova to win. Even some of you frisky UNC fans that want to see a repeat. Hold on here. And Miami just beat you at the buzzer at home too? Uh-oh. Yeah, you might not want to touch the repeat. Because there haven't been that many repeat champions over the years. In the NCAA tournament. Men's side, at least. Ladies, yeah, UConn. I don't know, not with the men, though. Might want to be cautious with that. What else? Tip number three, final tip. Is going to be, please spread your Final Four. If you want to at least have a decent shot to make it to the final weekend, you better spread your Final Four. Don't pick one seed to be in the Final Four. That's a common theory every year. If you hear it, please follow the theory. Final Four teams don't normally consist of all one seeds all the time. They don't. They try to tell you this every year with your bracket tips. Don't pick all four number one seeds to play into the Final Four. You're going to get hurt. You're really going to get hurt, people. And I'm pretty sure you go ask your friends, oh, I picked number ones before, all number ones before. It rarely happens. Yeah, it does really happen. It rarely happens. It's good advice to take. Like, spread your Final Four out, okay? Maybe you got a 1 seed in this bracket, a 2 seed there, a 6 seed there, a 3 there. You're fine. Best chances is you're going to get one or two teams to pop out of there into the Final Four. Come on now, man. You know upsets are going to happen in the tournament. So why even risk the opportunity of putting number one seeds, all number one seeds in the Final Four, or all number twos, or so on and so forth? I mean, it's a nice mixture if you want to. Like, put a 1 seed, there's a 2, you got an 8, and then probably put a 3 or 4. Again, a nice mixture of teams. You know, also another key thing, do your research. You can go on the internet and research the teams very easily with one click on google.com. NCAA tournament. Or Twitter, if you're on Twitter. Lord knows I'm going to be on Twitter Monday after Selection Sunday. I'll help you out. Lord knows I'm going to help you out. Because if I see some tasty matchups, I will give them to you. And help you out. For the love of God, Christ. Research does help in this equation too, a little bit. I mean, if you're a casual fan of college basketball, like, you can pick from colors and all that stuff. But if you're a tried and true fan of this game, college basketball, like I am, research does come to play. And you watching these teams over the year does help. Like, I watched Villanova this year. I think Villanova has a damn good chance of getting in the Final Four again. It's something special with that team, man. Jalen Brunson may as well be player of the year. Dude's an animal. Every time I watch Jalen Brunson go, oh my God, he popping three balls. He popping two. He popping twos at the paint. He underneath the rim laying up. This boy is amazing. I don't know if I'm tempting to pick Villanova as national champions. I'm going another route. So you never know. But there's my three tips right there. Again, the tip number one, pick a 12 over five, at least one. Please pick one. You'll be fine. You have upset the bracket about opening weekend. Tip number two, use your head, not your heart. Use common sense, people, please. Use common sense. Tip number three, spread your Final Four out. Like, spread your seeds out amongst your top four, your Final Four teams when you pick them. And also, extra tips. Research is a must. Extra tips. Research is a must. When it comes down to determined brackets, research is a must. Please. I mean, for the newbies, I understand. Okay. If you want to pick up a team based on the color, please do so. Maybe I'm more talking to my relatively experienced bracket pickers over the years with this. For my newbies, first year bracketeers, have fun with this. Okay. Have fun with this. If you know the game of college basketball, do the research you need to do. And maybe, if you've seen the team this year and you like them so much, you want them to win the tournament, okay. Like I said again, put them on the championship line when you fill out your bracket first day. It'll make it easier for you, okay. Villanova, I can't lose champions. This, I'm going to fill that bracket out. Boom, boom, boom. You're done. Work backwards instead of frontwards, people. The extra tip, work backwards instead of frontwards. You get so tempted to pick up sets, you work frontwards, people. I did this last year. Work backwards. I'm like, okay. It worked for me, man. It worked somehow for me. So work backwards to the frontwards. Use research. There's a lot of data and there's a lot of videos out there. Use a lot of research. Use what you know of the team already. Like, not predetermined bias. Like, what you see with the team this year. What you like about the team this year. What is your team? What is your ideal national championship team look like? And if you list them qualities and you think this team fits that quality, okay, cool. Okay, cool. Find it. You know, use your own rhetoric and research into putting in your own bracket. Like I said again, there's a 1 in a bazillion chance of getting a damn perfect bracket online or in real life pools. So use this opportunity as best as you can to get the right national championship team right. Please do so. So those are my NCAA men's basketball bracket tips. Yay! All right, final segment of this show today. All right, well, I got some time with you. Final segment. I want to talk about Major League Baseball. Baseball season starts March 20th. Y'all guys forget me because it starts on the first of this year. I think it's supposed to start maybe the day. Yeah, it starts on the first of this year. It's supposed to start late March this year, not early April like you normally used to. Baseball starting earlier this year, Major League Baseball at least, starting early this year. So I want to give you my Major League Baseball predictions, awards-wise, for 2018. I'm going to give you my award winners for 2018. Okay. That means my MVPs, my Cy Youngs, my Manager of the Year, my Cy Youngs. I got some pretty interesting, tasty choices for all these awards. I'm going to go talk about this for a few minutes and then I'll wrap up the show here today for the monthly version of the show. My rookies of the year, American League, Francisco Mejia and Cleveland. Now, y'all do know this. Carlos Santana just signed with the Phillies for like 3 years and granted a bunch of $1 million. Does this give the Indians a chance to play Francisco Mejia at catcher and at third base? Yes, it does. There's something about this Francisco Mejia kid with Cleveland, man. It's something special. You always got to find that something special with a rookie. I picked Andrew Benintendi to win Rookie of the Year last year. But we all didn't know Aaron Judge was going to come out of nowhere. We all didn't know that. I mean, I probably think some of you probably picked Aaron Judge beginning of the year. Some of you did. But some of you didn't think he was going to have the year he had. As a rookie. 50-plus home runs as a rookie. That's unbelievable. But I think Francisco Mejia can put that much of impact towards the Indians this year, because I think the Indians are a loaded team from top to bottom in the American League, maybe the best team in the league. Okay. So I think Francisco Mejia as a rookie will help them out. I'm going with the Phillies shortstop, J.P. Crawford, as NL Rookie of the Year. I don't know if that's a stretch pick there, but I hope the Phillies can find a way to get him on the roster. I know they probably got him on the roster right now, but I think J.P. Crawford is your next version of Jimmy Rollins. Yes, he is. The next J-Roll. The next Jimmy Rollins. Just a left-handed stick. I would like to think that J.P. Crawford, you know, if he ever tries to switch anything someday, you know, it could be the next Jimmy Rollins, you know what I mean? But J.P. Crawford's a very intriguing prospect on a very intriguing team in Philadelphia. That is a young, really youthful team, right? Hoskins and him, you got Altair, and you got a really new manager. Andy McPhail is their baseball ops person there. I know him because he used to be the Orioles baseball president of baseball operations. And, you know, did a great job he did in Baltimore before he left and Buck came. And he hired Buck. Remember, Andy McPhail hired Buck Showalter. And then Dad Duquette came in after Andy McPhail left. So is Andy McPhail's hire of Buck Showalter? Is Andy McPhail's responsibility that we have Buck Showalter in town, Baltimore? And Andy McPhail, I think he's going to do a good job in Philadelphia with this young nucleus of pitchers, with Andy Urinola and Ikroff. And you got these young guys, man, like Nola and Crawford and Hoskins. Like, I'm telling you, this Phillies team's going to be good in 3 to 5 years. Tops, maybe 2 to 3 years tops. I think this Phillies team's going to be good. I think J.P. Crawford's going to start that revolution with the Rookie of the Year award. Okay? J.P. Crawford, look out for him. Cy Young Award winners, I think this was an easy pick for me in the American League. I'm going Chris Sale because he's flat out the best pitcher in the American League. Like, y'all see the windup and delivery every year. It's confusing. His fastballs are dirty. His mixes, his off-speed pitches are that dirty too. Like, and I feel like Boston has something to prove this year in the American League East. I don't know if many of you have heard, but Giancarlo Stanton is a Yankee gear. Again, I repeat, Giancarlo Stanton is a Yankee fucking gear. God, that makes me sick. But anyway, I think Chris Sale's going to win Cy Young. He's going to average his 200 strikeouts, 20 wins plus this season. He's going to average his stuff. Like usual, okay? I think Chris Sale is that dominant. I got a surprise for end of Cy Young. I'm going to go on Jacob DeGrom. Some of you may say, oh, why no Syndergaard? No Clayton Kershaw? No Max Scherzer? Max Scherzer's going to like miss like the first month of the year, I'm hearing. Like miss opening day. And he has lingering issues with his injury history. Clayton Kershaw, y'all know his injury history the last couple of years. He'll come back and be MVP, yeah, and Cy Young candidate, yeah. But I'm going Jacob DeGrom. He's relatively young. I think he can average at least 200 strikeouts this year. I think he can set some records this year. The Mets need him. The Mets need Syndergaard, too. The Mets need everybody. You know, I think the Mets have a great manager. And Mickey Callaway, the Indians' former pitching coach, I think Noah's, I think this year, Jacob DeGrom should get his Cy Young this year. I think it well too over-deserved. The guy throws gas, 96 on the fastball. You know, his curveball average, his slider average is out of 88. His curveball average is around 80. Like, the dude throws gas. He's an itch. He's a true ace. He shares a staff with a great guy, Noah Syndergaard. And he shares a staff also with Matt Harvey, who used to be an ace at one time. Like, I think this pitching staff's still good. It's just their capabilities, the talent needs to come out with the Mets, hitting-wise, and with the pitching staff. The talent needs to come out with the hitting really more than the pitching, because the pitching's phenomenal. It's just the hitting is just, you know, the OC needs to come back better next year. Like, David Wright's still on the roster. Like, Amon Rosario, like, young shortstop, next you know, next incarnation of what you want to call Jose Reyes. Jose Reyes still on the roster. Jay Bruce got, you know, signed back there again this year. I mean, I hope their offense can somewhat replicate what their pitching staff can be, because it's still good. They just need a talent to tap out from the right human being. And I think Mickey Callaway can do it. He did a great job with that England's pitching staff. I mean, maybe it's not an assumption to do some, okay, this guy did well with one staff, he can't do well with it. Okay, but give him some time. Mickey Callaway, give him some time. I think this pitching staff is going to do well this year. And I think Jacob DeGrom is going to be the biggest beneficiary of this, so he'll win Cy Young. Some of you may think I'm high as shit, but I actually know my baseball. So, there you go. AL Manager of the Year will be Terry Francona. Like I said again, the Cleveland Indians are the best team in the American League, top to bottom roster comparison to everyone. Their competition, their closest competition, I think, and I feel with my heart, the Boston Red Sox. They hit just as well as Cleveland. They got a decent pitching staff just like Cleveland does. And I think the bullpen in Boston matches just as good as Cleveland's and Boston's. But I think Cleveland's the better team in the American League because of the it factors, the great players they got over there. I think Terry Francona is going to capitalize on another missed opportunity of winning the World Series this year. This past season, we just saw him, again, lose another opportunity of another World Series. How many times can you go through this? I think they'll set a good record, winning another 100 games plus. Because their division is so weak, man. Except for the Minnesota Twins, everyone else is weak. The Tigers are rebuilding. The Sox are rebuilding. The White Sox, at least, are rebuilding. And the Royals essentially said they're rebuilding, too. But giving away Eric Hosmer to the Padres. Like, except for the Twins, who I think can make a good wild card run if everything goes right again. Or maybe challenge the Indians and give them some competition in the division. But I think Terry Francona is going to set a huge win record this year. Maybe 110. Maybe Matt Seattle's under 16. You never know. So I think the Indians are that good of a team. They are that good. Manager of the Year may shock you guys. I don't know, may shock you guys, may shock you, may not. I'm going Bud Black of the Colorado Rockies. Hear me out. The Rockies are the best offense in the National League. I can admit that with my own two eyes. They're a dangerous team. You do not want to touch in the playoffs. They're going back to the playoffs this year. I just have a feeling. Like, the D-backs may take a step back this year. Dodgers going to repeat. But Dodgers and the Rockies may compete for the division crown. I think the D-backs may get back into the wild card. It's going to be a three-headed race again. Sorry, Giants. Sorry, Padres. Can't get in this race this year. Although I want the Giants. See, the NL West can be the most competitive division in baseball this year. We all assume the AL East can be competitive every year, but the NL West is really where it's at this year as far as competitiveness, because the Giants kind of rebuilt this year. The Padres, they ain't going to be a factor, but they're a young team. They're rebuilding. They got Hosmer. I mean, you look at the Dodgers. They're the crown kings of the damn division. The Rockies are taking steps. Their bullpen moves this offseason. The Diamondbacks, they're there. I know they just lost J.D. Martinez, but they're still there. I'm like, everything's in line here for a crazy division race this year. And I think Bud Black is going to do some great things for the Rockies, either division champs or wild card holders. They're going to get in the playoffs again this year. They have the best offense in the game. Their pitching is going to match that this year. Their bullpen is dangerous like it was last year. So I can't see why not Bud Black can't get a nomination or win Manager of the Year. Excuse me. So Bud Black going to win Manager of the Year for the NL side. And there's some pretty good reasons you can say. Their offense is pretty damn good. Like, look at the lineup. Nolan Arenado, the star of the team. You got Cargo coming. I hope he comes back. You got DJ. You got a really good offense. Mark Reynolds, you got a deep offense here, man. This is the best offense in the league. I got to say it. There's good offenses in the National League, like LA's and Arizona's, minus J.D. Martinez now, but there's still good offense in Arizona. You look around the National League, Cubs, solid offenses, like, but they don't match that type of oh shit, I don't want to face this team in a 3-game fucking series pitching wise. Like Colorado's, man. Like, they're a tough team on offense. Of course, with the ballpark they play in and all this, but they got good batters. Like, they really have a good team. So, they're a really nice team. And to finish up, I got MVP. I'm going with Mookie Betts of the Boston Red Sox. Like I said, I expect some big things for the Red Sox this year. I ain't spilling my division picks right now. Maybe I am to you. Maybe I am. Maybe I am. But Mookie Betts is a safe bet for me, maybe to win AL MVP. I know some of y'all going to go Stanton. Some of y'all want to go Judge. Some of y'all want to go Altuve to repeat. Let me give you a reason why Mookie Betts could win MVP. It's because he may be a part of a division-winning team and a deadly offense in Boston. This is a truly deadly offense in Boston. They just signed J.D. Martinez. For the love of God, they just signed J.D. Martinez. They have Hanley Ramirez still there. I know he can't replicate David Ortiz. He has a great lineup and a great premium spot to drive and runs too. Like, he bats anywhere near from 1-3 in the lineup. Mostly fur in the lineup, but I think Mookie Betts can set some records this year. I really think with this offense in Boston, I swear to God, Mookie Betts better win MVP. Like 30, 40 home runs if you want. 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, 300 average, man. He had a down year last year. I think he may have an underrated shot to win MVP this year. Believe me or not to say this, the Red Sox have one of the most potent offenses in the game. And now you add J.D. Martinez to the K-top? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yankees Red Sox has got real interest this year. Well, what the hell I'm talking about? I'm an Orioles fan. I got to watch these two fight all year long. We can't get our asses in there, too? Oh, hell yeah. We're getting our asses in there. With the Sox and the Yankees, baby. I can't wait for Red Sox Orioles this year. I really can't. It's going to be some two good offenses. Sox got the better rotation than we do. But I'm admitting it right now. Even bullpens, Sox got the better star rotation. But even offenses, oh my God, I can't wait to see the Red Sox offense with J. Martinez. I'm obsessed with that sign right there. Jesus, man, because I was tired all off season of hearing, oh, Stanton's gonna kill the ball in New York, and Judge's gonna kill the baseball. They're gonna kill it, man. No. The Yankees remind me of the Astros before they just won the World Series this past season. Remember the Astros were out in the playoffs in like 2016? After they subsequently made it in 2015 out of nowhere? This reminds me of the same old story of the Yankees. Too young, they made it too young. Right? They're too young. Give them one more year, maybe they can win the World Series. So... And my NL MVP is Nolan Arenado. Like I said, the Rockies are going to do some wonderful things this year. And I think this guy is going to be the key cog in that ignition fire. I think he may hit 40. Arenado has that type of power. That marvelous type of power you see out of barely anyone else in this league. Like, this dude plays amazing defense. As much as I hate saying this, Machado's not at third to compete with him no more for best third baseman defensively in the league no more. But, yeah, y'all know Machado's at short now. But Arenado, with Machado gone from third, is the best third baseman in the league, hitting and offensively and defensively. And he has this it factor. Like, I see him as a really good team leader for this Rockets team. Like, y'all see it last year. Y'all saw it last year. He was a really good player. And a great wildcard season for the Rockies. Like, it came out of nowhere. Where did the Rockies come from? You knew who led the cog? No, Arenado. He's an amazing player. I want to see him win MVP this year. He got good scores last year to win it. I would like to see him win the NL MVP this year. I mean, he came so close to that shit. There were people like Bryce Harper. And then eventually, the eventual NL MVP. You know who won it last year? Y'all do know who won the NL MVP last year, right? Do I need the Bear say his name? He's on the fucking Yankees, if you don't know. Giancarlo fucking Stan. Thank God. Stan is at least out of the National League for you, Aaron Nall, to win the NL MVP. Aaron Nall is going to win the MVP this year. I just have a feeling. 40 bombs, 130 plus RBIs. Something magical is going to happen this year with that bat of Aaron Nall's. So, I got about maybe a few more minutes here on the podcast. Again, guys, thank you. This is going to be a fun ride with TJ Live. Again, I'm coming on with you once a month around the 28th of the month. So stay tuned. Watch me grow and develop with you guys. And if you guys got any comments, please chime them in. I want to hear from you. You know, you got any great bracket tips? Drop them, man. You know, drop them on my Twitter page at Troy Johnson Jr. 3, all one word. On Twitter, I'll follow you immediately. I'm a follow back guy anyway. I don't got that many followers on my new account anyway. So follow me back as soon as you can. I'll follow you back. No problem. I love to talk sports with you. I love to talk wrestling with you too, man. I'm a very fun guy on Twitter. I promise you. You go on my Twitter, you look at my stuff, and when I say, you're going to be pretty interested with the results you get from me. So, again, I thank you for listening to this podcast. I thank you for taking your time out of this day to listen to this 51-minute crap full of volume one of my podcast. But again, I'm coming to you monthly, not bi-weekly or anything like that. Monthly. So once a month, you'll hear my lovely voice over and over and over again. If you come back and listen to this again till March 28th, please do it twice and don't do it three times. So again, my name is Troy Johnson. Jira, I'm out. I'm cashing the fuck out. Good day to all. See ya.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.